plans. I think we're going to finish it. And then we're going to move on into 2 John. I plan to next week and just continue through these letters. But I just can't say enough this morning about how God is just awesome. And I pray that you are enjoying the awesomeness of God right now. And I pray that if you weren't when you came in here, you was feeling discouraged by the events of your week and maybe some challenges. I didn't go on with the challenges. I'm not going to focus on those. There were plenty of them. I'm going to go on looking at the Lord and knowing that he's got a good plan through all of it. And so let's continue to do that. Let's have a word of prayer before we get into the word this morning. Dear Father, we just want to thank you that you're good. Thank you, Lord, for all the events of this week, two of which were major pro-life events. Thank you for the ladies' conference out at Bass Creek Camp. Thank you that our ladies who went were encouraged and I pray emboldened in their faith and that we will just continue to know that you win. You win in the end. We've read the end of the book. We're part of your kingdom as Christians and true believers in Christ. So that means we win. We have eternal life waiting for us. And we don't have to wait till then to start enjoying it. We can enjoy it right now. And so, Lord, don't let us get down by the things that we see happening in the world. This is your story. And so, Lord, it's going to come out like you say it comes out. And so, Lord, we're looking forward to the return of Jesus. But, man, there's a lot of people that the return of Jesus is going to be their worst nightmare. And so I pray that you would be speaking into people's hearts even today, calling people into repentance, Lord, and into a relationship with you. And so we're going to be in your word today, and I pray that you would feed your flock, that you would feed us with manna from heaven this morning, that you would feed us, and if there's any here that are not believers yet, that you would allow this word that we're going to read today to convict hearts and call them to a relationship with you as well. Help us to always know and remember Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through you. And thank you for calling us to be your children. Lord, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word this morning and bless the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word this morning, if you can. If you're holding a baby and you can't, we understand. If you're not able to for other reasons, we understand. But I just think it's good for us to say, this word is for me today, and to show respect to God as we read it. This is God's holy word that we're reading this morning. 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother sinning the sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life. For those who commit sin not leading to death, there is sin leading to death. I do not say that you should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Let's pray again. Father, as we have read these words and we have stood to proclaim this word is for me today, I pray that as the word know was being used, K-N-O-W, multiple times in this area of Scripture, that when we leave here, we'll know. First of all, where we are with you. Are we truly a child of God? If yes, we will celebrate. If no, we'll do something about it. We will respond to the grace that you're giving us today to become a child of God. I pray that we will leave here knowing that we are in Christ and able to serve you according to your will, knowing that your word is truth, knowing that you have a plan, knowing that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, knowing who is true, and knowing that we are in him who is true, his Son, Jesus Christ. So I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us today through this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have a seat. Let's think about this a little bit. Let's talk about the signs of salvation, that you have a prayerful, sanctified life. I believe that God wants us to be prayerful people. Amen. It talks about prayer in this section of Scripture. If you're a child of God, prayer should be the condition of your life. It should be not just something we do every now and then, something we participate in, something we listen to, but something that is our heart. You know, the Bible talks about praying without ceasing. How can you do that? Do you have to close your eyes every time you pray? Do you have to get down on your knees every time you pray? Do you have to bow your head every time you pray? Do you have to have certain, you know, postures? And maybe sometimes you feel led to do that. Do you have to raise your hands when you pray? It talks about with lifted hands. Guys, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to pray without ceasing, you're going to have to pray even when you're driving the car. You know, I've said, hey, I'll pray for you right now. And they'll say, aren't you driving? Absolutely. I'm going to do it with my eyes open, man. I am. You know, if we're called to pray without ceasing, our life should be a life of prayer, a life of conversation with God, a life of even when we mess up, when we sin, we admit it immediately in prayer because you're already there. God's already there with you. Guys, this should be a walk with God. And you know what? In this prayerful life, we should have some confidence. Confidence. We're going to talk about that sanctified thing later because it's an important part of this whole deal. But I want to stick with this prayerful and confidence right now. That word confidence is an interesting word. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. The transliterated Greek. But what I am going to focus in on is that definition. We talk about freedom a lot in our nation. You know, I got the freedom to do this. I got the freedom to do that. I demand my freedom to live how I want. I can have the freedom to change my gender. I can have my freedom to do whatever I want. Guys, real freedom is when you submit to God. This freedom is this freedom of speech. We talk about that in our amendments, right? Which amendment is that? Do you guys know? The first one, meaning it's really important. We got to have this freedom. I'm going to tell you, you don't have this freedom with God till you get your life right with Christ. And whenever you have your life right with Christ, when you're a Christian, when you've got that position of coming through Jesus, the one, the righteous one, all of a sudden, you just gain confidence. You just gain the freedom of speech to God. And I'm going to say this confidence is really important that we have this. It's also translated by a different word in the next slide. Boldness. You notice I put it in bold print. It just seemed to fit. Boldness. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. I think this is what it's talking about. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. You know, I had another pastor one time that argued with me. I was talking about begging God to forgive our nation. And this individual had a great problem with that idea of us taking the posture of being a poor beggar. He said, the Bible says we should come boldly to the throne of grace. That means we should basically march up to the throne of grace and make our petition. Man, I think he's getting the wrong message from this, guys. I think that the boldness is that we would even approach the throne of grace. Because I'm going to tell you, if you approach God in an unholy manner, you could die. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords, and he does not allow unholiness in his presence at all. And so God has made the way that we can be bold enough to even approach that throne that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I just want us to remember, Jesus is that way. He is the way for us to have that kind of boldness, that we would even be allowed into God's presence at all. And you know, I'm just going to kind of set the tone here. So we've been in Hebrews, and now I'm going to take you to the Gospel of John 14. I'm going to kind of look at some things that set some biblical precedents for this boldness, this confidence, for this freedom of speech that we now have through Christ. Asking through Jesus gives us that confidence, guys. Asking through Jesus. Do you ever hear, you know, whenever people pray and they say, in Jesus' name? That's not just some tag that we throw on the end. In fact, you could say that at the beginning if you want. Because what it's really saying is, it's not just some you know, thing that gives that prayer magic by including Jesus' name. It's Jesus who we go through. He is the way for us to approach the throne, because he is the one who has been approved by the Father. When he said, it's finished on the cross, I think he was talking about that. He was saying, it's finished, that everything that needs to be done to pay for the sin of the people, everything that needs to be done to fulfill all the righteous requirements of the law is being done right here, right now. Now he's the way that we approach the throne of grace, through him, in his name. And it says, whatever you ask in my name, Jesus said in John 14, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Praise the Lord. That's confidence. Remembering he's the way, remembering his promise to us, that gives us confidence. Here's the thing. Ultimately, we aren't righteous enough to approach the throne. Do I get an amen on that? We are not righteous enough. In my given state, I'm just a sinner in need of grace. But here's the thing. The Father sees us through the Son. When the Son stands there before us, he's making the way for us. He is our mediator, as it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2. He's our mediator, one mediator, not many mediators. I'm not your mediator. Jesus is your mediator. There's only one mediator. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He is the righteous one. He is the one who's going between you and the Father, making you reconciled, even in your prayers. That's your confidence. Put your confidence in the right thing. You don't want to put your confidence in the wrong thing. You know, the guys who flew the jets into the Twin Towers, they had a lot of confidence, but their confidence was in the wrong thing. When they woke up from that, guys, they were in an entirely different place than they expected to be. Put your confidence in the right thing that won't disappoint. Jesus is the right one. So that confidence is an important part of this. Now, do you really want to continue to have confidence? Have it in Christ. Do you want to continue to have confidence as well? Unrepentant sin is going to take away that confidence. Okay? Unrepentant sin will not, you know, you're not going to lose your salvation. I'm not going to stand up here and say, oh, you lose your salvation if you have unrepentant sin. I'm not going to say that because I don't think the Scripture says that. But what the Scripture does say, it can hurt your relationship with Christ. And if it hurts your relationship with Christ, and Christ is your confidence to be able to approach the throne, now your confidence to approach the throne has been affected by your unrepentant sin. This isn't saying that, like, anybody's perfect in and of ourselves. But guys, if God's pointing something out to you, you need to deal with it. You need to deal with it. And if you don't, look at what it says in Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Now, guys, I know he hears everything. But he hears his children in a different way. You know, I hear mommy out in the crowd, or I hear daddy out in the crowd. First thing I do is judge. Does that sound like my child's voice? First thing I do is well, maybe if it ain't my child. You know, I got some grandchildren, too. Maybe that's my grandchild's voice. If I've determined it's neither and they're calling for somebody else, I don't hear it in the same way. But man, if it's one of my children and I hear that emergency in their voice and they're saying, Daddy, whew, yeah, don't get in my way, because I'm going to go help them. I just can't help but think that that's just a little bit of what the Father's like in heaven. Here's his child through Jesus, his son. He responds. But if we have a problem in our relationship because of unconfessed, unrepentant sin, the Bible says he's not going to hear. 1 John 3:21 says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence." There's that word again from earlier in 1 John. Confidence toward God. Now, I don't want to put this like pressure or anything, making everybody sit here and think, well, if I'm not perfect, God's not going to hear me. That'll never happen. But what I do want to say is, if you know you've got a sin in your life and God's saying you need to stop it or you need to do something about this, start working on it with him. Confess it. First thing you do, agree with God. That's what that word means, confess. And, of course, we have the promise in 1 John 1:9. Promise. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess it. Repent of it. Let's move forward with him. You may mess up there again. Do I get an amen? Sometimes we have some of those sins. We just kind of keep seeming to have to deal with them. Then confess it again. He's not going to get tired of you confessing it. Because each time we confess it, we repent of it, we're getting closer to finally having victory over it. Let's keep confessing. Let's keep repenting. And let's keep putting that in a place where we can deal with it. But what we better not do, we better not say, oh, well, God knows I'm a sinner. I think I'll just keep doing it. He's okay with it. He's not okay with it. So let's make sure that we are working with God, and when he reveals these sins in our life, we do something about it. We repent. You see, praying according to God's will gives us confidence. That's where we're going to get to this 1 John 5 passage more now. In verse 14, now this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So Jesus gave us the promise in John 14 that, you know, if we go in his name, he's going to do it. And I think John kind of fine-tunes that just a little bit more. The Holy Spirit through John saying, providing is God's will. How do we find God's will? Does anybody have any ideas? It's just kind of floating around out here and we got to... The Bible! Yes! Praise the Lord! And I would have to say, prayerfully reading the Bible. Because there's a lot of stuff we got to discern in there too, right? Let's ask God to help us to understand his will as we read. And I'm going to say it every day. I know everybody says, man, you're putting too much pressure on us. No, I think we should take in some Bible every day somehow, some way. I need it every day. I'm getting a worse memory all the time too. So I need to keep repeating things. Read it every day. Find God's will every day. And then you know what you can do? You can pray back God's will to him. And you say, well, it's already his will. Why bother? Because he tells us to. Pray the scripture back to him. Read the Psalms. You know what? It's David praying back the will of God to him, many of them, and other individuals that God had and he spoke through as well. So we can have confidence. Remember that word confidence, boldness, freedom of speech? We can have that when we know we're praying according to God's will. And here's the thing, guys. Christian prayers are effective. Can I get an amen to that? Christian prayers are effective. 1 John 5:15. So if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked for, or that we have asked of him. Look at James chapter 5, verse 16 that goes along with that. You know, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Remember, it ain't our righteousness. It's the fact we're coming through Christ that prayer becomes effective. It's so important. In fact, he goes on in the book of James to talk about the prophet Elijah, who prayed that it not rain. And you know what? Didn't rain. For how long? 3.5 years. You know why? Because he was praying God's will, and he was in a place that he was surrendered to God. God heard his prayer, and God did it. And you know what? It didn't rain till God told him, now pray it'll rain. And he prayed that it would rain. So why did he have him pray? Because he wanted to involve him in the process. You know why he wants you to pray? Because he wants to involve you in the process. It creates relationship. Okay, now I'm going to get in your business some more. Got a lot of married folk in here. How many of you pray daily together with your spouse? I know it's an uncomfortable silence. I'm doing it on purpose. If you're not, you need to start. Okay, how many of you here have other family members in your life? And they call and ask for advice, sons, daughters, grandchildren, aunts, uncles, whatever. Do you ever just stop and pray with them? Well, you might say, well, they're not quite like a believer like me. So what? Ask them if you can. Involve them in the process, because God's going to hear your prayer if you are a child of God. Don't just say, oh, well, God hears everybody just the same. If they're not a child of God. Yeah, I'm not saying he don't hear them, but I'm saying we have the promise he does hear us. So let's offer to do it. How about your server at the restaurant? You have anything I can pray for you about? And if they say, oh, yeah, take the next step. Say, can I pray for you right now? Some people are very refreshed and very welcome to that. They want that. I've actually had servers say, hang on a minute. And I'm like, oh, no, what are they going to call the police? They look to see if they can have a little break so they can come sit down with us while we pray. Whew. Praise the Lord. Now you're getting a chance to witness to them too. How incredible. God is awesome. Take that step. Because you know why? The effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. Your prayers are effective. Don't take it lightly. How about this whole next part? This part always kind of freaks us out whenever we get to verse 16 in the 1 John 5 passage. Sin leading to death? Sin not leading to death? What in the world is this talking about? Well, if anyone sees a brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. Okay, so first of all, big thing I really want to focus on here, that's saying your prayers are effective. Would you agree? It's saying if you pray for them, God's going to do something. He's going to help them to be released from that. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say you should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. I'm not going to spend just a whole lot of time on this, but what I am going to say is what I think it's talking about is confessed sin and unconfessed sin. I think willful disobedient sin in a person's life, we should not pray that a person be released from the consequences of it unless they've truly repented. Why? Because, guys, we need to go ahead and let God deal with them. Because God dealing with them might actually help them to repent and be released from it. Otherwise, their sinful direction could lead them to death. I think it's really important that we get that right. And some people would take this to be talking about the unforgivable sin. Does anybody know what the unforgivable sin is here? Unbelief, yeah. It would be to blaspheme the Holy Spirit's witness of who Jesus is, right? Because it's what those Pharisees were doing. The Pharisees, it had been revealed to the Pharisees that Jesus was truly God, right? And it was revealed to them by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus knew it. And they were calling him, saying he was doing healing by the power of Beelzebub. Who's Beelzebub? The devil. Was Jesus healing by the power of the devil? And the fact that they were saying that, even though God had revealed it to them, just showed that they were denying the witness of the Holy Spirit in their life. And so that's the unforgivable sin. I don't really think this is talking about this. I think that even believers can continue in sin to where God has to take them out of this world. And I think what he's saying is you need to allow God to do what he's doing in their life. not be praying against God, because remember, we're supposed to be praying according to God's will, correct? You know, sometimes the consequences from sin is what causes us to finally repent. I see moms and dads do this in a physical way a lot of times, and grandparents, they'll try to rescue a kid from their own consequences. And if you keep doing that, the proverb says that eventually, basically, you're hurting them. So let's let God do what he needs to do in their life. Let's pray according to his will. And as we see people, you know, they're really trying to get out of that sin. They're really dealing with it in a repentant way. Let's pray that they can be totally released from that. For those who are not repentant yet, let's pray that whatever God needs to do to help release them, he'll do it. Amen? Don't be afraid to pray that, because God's not going to do anything more to him than what he has to. He knows how to do it perfectly. Repentance really is the key. In 2 Corinthians 7, 9 through 10, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you may suffer loss from us in nothing, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. So let's pray that people have a godly conviction of heart. That's where we need to be. Not this worldly sorrow that just leads to death. Repentance is that key. Repentance is a turning away from and turning to God. So we are to live a sanctified life. Remember, I told you we would get to that. I think living that sanctified life is so important. We need to live a sanctified life. You know what sanctified means? It means set apart. Holy. It's the same. It's kin to the same word, holy. And it's talking about being set apart for God. That you're set apart from the world. You don't live like the rest of the world. You don't do like the rest of the world. But you have admitted, confessed, and are living like you belong to Jesus. And so in 1 John 5, 18 through 19, it's talking about this gives us that place of confidence, that boldness to speak. He says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself. What's that does not sin mean? It doesn't mean that you don't occasionally find yourself that you've sinned again. What this is talking about is willful, disobedient, continual process of sin. So what would that look like? It's like knowing that, like, God has revealed in his scripture, he has revealed to you that a particular activity or position that you are in could be a bad relationship that's not scriptural. It could be a lot of different things. It could be a bad habit that you have, and you know God's told you and he's shown you in his word that you need to stop it. If you continue on in that, I think that you're continuing in sin. And it's saying that the child of God doesn't, whoever's born of God does not continue in that sin. Now, you may continue to struggle with it. Here's what the advice I always give. But you better make sure you keep struggling against it until you get it, until God allows you to be totally set free from it. He will. You know how many times I quit chewing before I ever really quit chewing? I was addicted to tobacco. I used to drink. You know how many times God had to convince me that I needed to give up that activity in my life? That was not for me. He had something better for me. So I had to keep working on it until I was released fully from it. But if I would have continued in it and said, oh, well, God knows I'm a sinner, he'll get over it someday. And guys, I don't think I'd be standing here before you today. Do I still deal with sin in my life? Absolutely. And every one of us will until the day Jesus comes back or we go to be with him. But here's the thing. We better keep working against it. Amen? Because he wants us to live a sanctified life. And the wicked one does not touch him. So that one who's born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Guys, if you're going the same way as the world, you're not going with God. We really need to make sure we're going with God. Everything is about knowing Jesus, isn't it? knowing. It's a special word that's just, you know, like for the type of union between a husband and a wife. And it really is the essence of salvation. In 1 John 5:20 it says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus. This is the true God and eternal life." And the very next slide there will be related to this. Back to John, the Gospel of John 17:3, "And this is eternal life, that we may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Knowing God. And 1 John 5:20 just reminds us of that. So ultimately, kind of just to wrap it all up, you might fool some of the people some of the time. You've heard that expression. You might fool some of the people some of the time, but you're not going to fool Jesus. If you're in him, the evidence is going to be there. Amen? And so he even talks about it in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will come to me in that day saying, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you.'" You see, it's about knowing Christ. "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." It's really about Christ knowing us, isn't it? That's ultimately the key. And if he knows you and he's called you and you know him, then you're going to be with him. So let's just point our compass directly to Jesus. Just like we have compasses and they point us due north, let's point them to Jesus and stay on that. And you know, ultimately, this final slide, idols get in our way of knowing Jesus. Jesus is the key, and knowing him is the key, and the idols will get in our way. In fact, he goes on in 1 John 5:21 to say, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." And he just ends it there. Amen. You know, you may not realize it, but your heart is an idol factory. Your heart's going to always be wanting to exalt something to be your idol. Let your only idol be Jesus. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, as you have revealed yourself through your word, as we conclude this book of 1 John, the whole book has many references to knowing, that we may know that we are yours, that we may know where we are at with you. And so, Lord, as you're revealing yourself, I pray that we will have that kind of confidence in our prayer life, that we would be living a life that is set apart for you. Bless us, Lord. And if anybody has anything that they want to pray about today, I pray that they will have boldness to come before your throne. And Lord, that they will just lay it out before you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you for rising again. Thank you that you are the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand for this last song.